praise the Lord. He'll do it again. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And we can only know he's going to do it again if he's already done it, right? Praise the Lord for the way he's already done it in my life. And I thank God for the testimony that you've been able to share for how he's already done it in your life as well. And we're just going to keep on trusting God to keep on doing it in our lives. You know, so last week we started a new sermon series called How Do We HFC? And the whole idea here is just to recognize that, you know, most people in the world don't have hope because most people in the world don't know the truth of God. Because most people in the world don't know Jesus. But we, like, this is the great, great news, is that we actually do have hope. Because we do have the truth of God's word, because we do know Jesus, right? And so what that means is now we have an opportunity, right, to actually, like, share hope and to share truth and to share Jesus with others. See, God has, in fact, given us a vision to be a church that multiplies, to be a church that actually plants new churches, that starts new churches, that we wouldn't just be happy with growing something here, but that we would actually start a movement of sorts, if you will, where we're able to connect with people all over Northwest Houston and who knows where from there. And the way that God is leading us through his word to accomplish that vision is to be disciples that make disciples. And even last week we talked about how there's a lot of different ways we can get in to do that. Even if this is your very first time worshiping with Houston First, you can actually be a part of this mission that we have to be disciples that make disciples. You can be a part of helping to accomplish this vision to multiply the good news of Jesus, not just here in this building, but all over the place. You, even if this is your first time here. And so last week we talked about, like, I don't need you to go from first time to being an elder in the church in 1 week. I just need all of us to take one step, right? And if we all take one step, man, just imagine how incredible that opportunity would be for us to be able to make an impact in our families and in our neighborhoods and our workplaces, wherever we might happen to be. Today, though, I want to talk about the fact that part of who we are as a church, part of who we are as HFC, is we are people who pray. We are people who believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God actually answers prayer. And so part of our culture here, part of who we are, and part of how you can engage with who we are, is you can also become a person of prayer. When my family and I, over Christmas, we had an opportunity to be able to drive up to Ohio. That's where a lot of our family is, and so we do the whole, I don't know, it's like 18 hours of driving, right? That doesn't include stops or whatever. It's super awesome. You should come with us sometime. And anyway, so when you spend that much time in a vehicle, right, you need some things to do, right? And it used to be, for Beth and I, it used to be, like, we would just give the kids, like, whatever, like, screen. They could watch whatever, like, cartoon or whatever. Now they're, like, old enough. Like, they got their own stuff they're doing and everything. Oh, we don't even really hear anything from them until they're hungry or something like that, right? But then for Beth and I, too, like, we got to find stuff as well. I mean, we got 18 hours here. And so it's funny because, like, now almost all of our devices are wireless, right? So for me, I'm driving most of the time. Beth will drive, by the way. It's just that I am usually the one behind the wheel. And so as I was driving up to Ohio, particularly this last time, we have, like, probably a dozen wireless devices within 4 square feet of each other here, right? From phones to AirPods to all kinds of stuff, iPads, all this stuff, right? And so as I'm driving, I'm trying to, because everybody's got their own thing they're listening to or whatever like that, I'm trying to get something that I can listen to, right? I mean, after all, driver's got to stay awake here, right? And so, like, I got a podcast or two I'm trying to listen to, but nobody wants me just to play that off my phone or to, I mean, like, Lord forbid I would play it over the speakers of the van, right? Because then everybody has to hear it, right? So I got to get my own AirPods out, right? And I've got to try to hear what is, like, what's going on there, right? And so as I'm going, like, as I'm driving, I'm trying to connect my phone to my AirPods. But it's not working. Like, I keep hitting the button, I'm playing music or whatever, and it's not coming through. And so, like, now I have to begin to figure out, like, what's wrong with all of my devices. Like, why is this not happening, right? At one point, AirPods were actually just, like, they were just dead, right? They needed to be charged. So that's not going to work very well if there's no power there, right? And then the most annoying thing in the world was, like, I would put my AirPods in to try to connect to them, and for whatever reason, it would either connect to Beth or Lily's phone. And so now, like, they're yelling at me because now my phone is on their AirPods, and I'm just like, I'm not happy either because I wanted to hear that, right? And so then, like, the first couple of times, especially when it happened, we're like, okay, well, like, how do we, like, who needs to do what? So I'm, again, y'all pray, I'm driving, or supposed to be, right? And I'm, like, trying to figure out what I need to do on my device. Beth is over here trying to figure out why she's hearing my podcast in her ears, right? Lily's in the back just trying to keep it all to herself back there as well. And it was, like, it was a little chaotic for a little bit, I'm not going to lie, right? It was probably not my safest driving either, but praise the Lord, we got there and got back, and it was just fine. See, in order for all of this to work right, the power had to be on, the Bluetooth had to be connected. That got me a couple times. I turned my Bluetooth off for some reason. I don't know why. But the Bluetooth has to be turned on. Sometimes it's just automatically going to connect somewhere else. Or I actually have to go in and actually pair all of the devices together and everything. It's like there's a lot to it. And the reality is that if my phone is connected to something other than what I'm listening to, then I'm not actually going to hear what my phone is supposed to be putting in my ears, right? See, if I don't do the right steps to get my phone connected to the earbuds that I have, right, then actually trying to make all this happen, it's gonna seem as if the system is broken and useless and dumb, right? Because let me tell you, there was a couple of times where I just wanted to throw everything across the van, just like, I'm done, right? Because nothing was working right? And the reality is that if I'm struggling while I'm trying to do something else, i.e. driving down the freeway at whatever speed the speed limit was marked for, right? I'm going to be even quicker to give up on what I'm trying to do, and I'm just going to depend on someone else to just do it for me, right? Many times, we can kind of see prayer in the same way, right? Prayer can seem broken and useless and dumb because it just isn't working right. It just isn't accomplishing what we want it to. It's not, our genie God isn't granting our wishes in the way that we want him to. And so many times it's just a whole lot easier just to give up and say, you know what? Someone else do it. Someone else take care of it. Someone else pray. Someone else handle all of that. But what I want us to look at today is, like, if we're going to be people that are part of HFC, that are part of this culture of prayer, part of seeing God respond to the prayers that we're praying, like, what I want us to wonder about today is, what if the problem isn't prayer? What if there's a connection problem? What if there's a power problem? What if there's a Bluetooth that's off somewhere, right? And what we're supposed to be hearing just isn't showing up to us. Maybe it's not broken and dumb. Maybe we just need to figure out how to tap into this thing a little more effectively, amen, right? Amen. And so today we're gonna look at some scripture. We're gonna look at a lot of different scripture, actually. And we're going to look at how we can make sure that those connections are where they need to be so that we can engage this culture of prayer as a church as well. So before we jump into that, if you would, pray with me. God, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be before you. We thank you, God, for your presence here in this place. We thank you, God, for your holy word. And we thank you, God, that you hear us when we pray. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that my words would be your words today, Father, that your message alone would be heard in this place. Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would transform lives with the good news of Jesus Christ, God, and that you would help us to see, Lord, how we can tap into everything that you have for us today. Lord, we submit ourselves to you and ask, Lord, that you would have your way for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. And we're going to, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through several different scriptures here. And we're just going to take a little bit of time to sort of unpack some of these. If you don't have a Bible with you today, we're going to have everything up on the screen as well. And so you can find those there. But we're going to start out in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. And it says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, what the one principle that I want you to understand in regard to prayer is that God responds to our faith. I need you to hear that today. God responds to our faith. Now, again, I want to be super clear here. We are not the church that says, and I've kind of joked about this before, that if you want me to pray for your Lamborghini, I'm not doing that, right? Now, if you want to pray for mine, praise the Lord. Go for it. I'm not encouraging that, but if that's what the Lord lays on your heart, go right ahead. I'm just saying, we're not the name and claim it church that, well, if I just pray to be a millionaire, then God's going to make that happen. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's what this verse is saying at all, by the way. But what I do believe is that God does respond to the faith of his children that are seeking after him, right? And so one of the things we need to recognize is that faith kind of acts like a charger for our phone or AirPods or whatever like that, right? It's not until we charge ourselves up in our faith that we're going to be able to access some of the things that God has for us. Because this is what you need to know. If you are not charged up in faith, you probably aren't going to be ready to receive what God has for you anyway. I mean, that's just the reality. Like you're not going to have enough to sustain what God has for you when he does answer that prayer. So we need to see, like faith is the power that begins to instigate and to bring about the manifestation of the answered prayers in our lives. I think that faith is actually why God gave us imagination. Go with me here. I know this seems like, well, Pastor, you had me there for a second, and then you kind of lost me here. Think about it. Think about how many bad, well, I mean, don't think too much about it, but think about how many bad ways you could use imagination, right? Again, don't think too long on it. That was a really bad idea for me right there. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? The devil can use our imagination in so many terrible ways, right? From temptation to anxiety to all kinds of things to just help us self-destruct our lives, right? All that through imagination. Yet, I believe God gave us imagination so that we could actually put our faith into progress, like put our faith in motion so that we could begin to see him respond to that faith. Let me show you what I mean by this. So in Romans chapter 4 in verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." This is talking about Abraham, right? It says, "Abraham is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being, things that were not." Watch this, because that's a lot of words here. Let me just help sort of unpack this a little bit. What that means is that God can bring things about that have not yet existed, right? In the same way that he spoke all of creation into existence, there was nothing and then there was something, right? You need to understand that there are some things that are currently not present in your life that God can speak into existence. It's not there right now. There's not even a way for it to be there right now. And even though it's not there, God can call that thing into being. See, I believe that God gave us imagination so that we could see some things before we see some things. I believe that God has set some things in our heart, and it's in our imagination that we can see in our minds what it is he is leading us toward, so that we keep on praying by faith. Even though we haven't seen it with our eyes, we have seen it with our spirit, and we trust him enough and we put our faith in him enough to believe what he has given us in our mind. And when we activate that faith, when we charge up our faith, then he provides. See, God is one who accomplishes and provides things that actually don't yet exist. And many times, as we are praying, we try to think of well, if this goes right, and then that goes right, and then that goes right, and then that goes right, then I'll get the answer to my prayer. But I just need you to know, and maybe that is how God will work, but I just need you to know right now, like, God is a God of miracles. Right. God can start with nothing and create everything you need, amen, right? All of which is activated by faith, right? So we need to recognize and see that in order for us to have that prayer, or those prayers that are being responded to by God, we need to be people of faith. We need to be seeking ways to grow in our faith. We need to get, that's another reason we need to get in God's word, so that we can grow in the faith that we have in him. That's the reason why we've got to hang out with other Jesus people, so that we can figure out how they are walking by faith and join them in that journey. See, we've got to find ways to grow in our faith, and we will then see ways that God is answering our prayers. Whew, we better keep on going here. Acts chapter 13. Let me read for you. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Fasting is an incredible aspect of prayer that sometimes I don't know that we really engage as often or as much as we really should. Fasting is this time of listening and discernment and revelation. Fasting is also a time of dedication and desperation and dependence on God. Many times when people fast, they will go without eating food, right? And in this time, it is not just that you go around being hungry. That's not the point of fasting. The point of fasting is to basically say, like, God, I need to hear from you, and I'm willing to deny myself even of the basic things of my life until I hear from you, God. And even if I don't eat, I still need to feed on you. The fasting is this idea that I'm okay getting rid of everything else, Lord, but I need you to move in my life, right? See, I think fasting is actually sort of a point of desperation that we're able to show to God. And I think really for prayer in general, prayer ought to come from a place of desperation, right? Now, don't get me wrong, like, I get, like, we have confidence in God. We believe who he is. We know what he's done. I mean, what did we say before? Do it again, Lord, right? We know he's already done it. We believe he can do it again. Like it's not to say we don't have confidence in God, but the reality is that if God doesn't move, nothing is happening in our lives. And sometimes, I wonder if we are not so familiar with God that we have forgotten to be desperate for his power to move in our lives. Like, we've seen it so much that it becomes a commonplace kind of thing that we're just, yeah, I mean, it's a, yeah, we'll just pray. We'll just pray. Oh, if I could get you to never say that ever again in your life, that would be super awesome. We'll just pray. No. You won't pray. That reminds me of, I remember when Beth was early in nursing, and she would have people come up to her at either at the hospital or somewhere and ask her what she does. And she would say, "Oh, I'm a nurse." And they'd say, "Oh, you're just a nurse." In other words, you're not a doctor, you're not whatever else, you're just a nurse. Or even other nurses would respond and say, "Oh, I'm just a nurse." And I love that her response was always, "No, I'm not just a nurse, I'm a nurse." Like, I dare you to go to the hospital that doesn't have a nurse. I dare you, right? Like, all of a sudden, that nurse is going to be really, it's not just a nurse anymore, is it? Right? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we look at prayer that same way, like as if it's some sort of last resort that we just kind of throw in, like it's ketchup on our fries, right? No. Like, it's not just prayer, it's prayer. Like, it is a conversation with the Almighty God. Like, eternity is in the balance of these conversations here. Like, we need to understand, like, this is not just me taking a walk in a park on a Saturday afternoon. Like, this is me calling on God, because if He doesn't act in my life, it's not going to happen. Like, I need to see people get saved. I need to see people get healed. I need to see people get delivered. And I can't do that myself. No, I've got to be desperate enough to say to my God, "Lord, if it's not you, it's not going to happen." Right? See, I think that fasting is actually one of the ways that we can sort of live out that desperation, right? It's a way to sort of physically set aside those things that we've come to depend on in our lives, right? Even just a meal, right? Or two or three, right? But it's that way of saying to God, "Lord, I'm desperate for you. I need to hear from you." So here's what's ironic about this whole thing, is that many times desperation is actually the thing that takes us away from God. Isn't that crazy? Like, we find ourselves in desperate situations. We find ourselves in places where it's like, man, this life is harder than it's ever been. I don't know where I'm supposed to go now. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do with my spouse. I don't know what I'm going to do with my job. I don't know what I'm going to do with my neighbor. Like, whatever, right? We got all these things. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get that doctor's report. I all these kinds of things that we have. And many times, it's that desperation of, "I don't know what to do." And so many times, the enemy convinces us that what we need to do is isolate. What we need to do is stay by ourselves. What we need to do is just don't go talk to anybody or anything like that. Don't make it anybody else's problem. And I want you to know, those are lies from the pit of hell. Like, you need to recognize, like, in your point of desperation, God has you right where He can work in ways that you've never seen before. Your desperation might just activate a faith that brings about some power in the prayers that you pray. Like, your desperation is not a reason for you to leave the church. Your desperation is a reason for you to go to Jesus like never before. Like never before. All right? And how ironic is it that the enemy uses the very thing that should take us closer to God, and he twists that and perverts that in our minds to take us even farther away from him. See, like, at one point, as we were on our trip to Ohio, I realized how stupid it was for me to actually be trying to do all this as I was driving. So when we stopped at a gas station, we all got back in, and I actually took a moment to go ahead and just get it all straightened out, right? And of course, as soon as I turned on the phone to get the AirPods connected and everything, it connected to someone else's. So then we had to get that together or whatever. But what I had decided was that we weren't leaving that gas station until we got it all straight. See, that's kind of what fasting is in a way. Fasting says, "I'm not eating until I hear a word. I'm not doing anything normal, right? I'm not doing any of the regular stuff. I need to hear from God. And if that means I'm going to turn my plate over, then I'm going to do that until I hear a word from God. See, sometimes we just need to stop being so distracted by the rest of our lives that we actually let ourselves hear from God. That's what prayer does. That's what desperation does. And that's what fasting can do as well. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never really done fasting before, you're just like, Pastor, that's great and all. Like, I don't really know about that whole not eating thing, right? Trust me, I'm a big fan of eating myself. I am. Like, I'm looking for, like, the game tonight. Maybe you heard there's a game tonight. There are two guys from Ohio State that are playing. That's all that really matters to me. Really, the thing I'm looking forward to the most tonight is that Beth has a great food spread that we're going to eat. It's going to be awesome. Like, I am going to roll myself to bed tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, right? I love to eat, too. But sometimes I have there's a tremendous benefit for me when I stop being so distracted by the day-to-day stuff of I just got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, got to do that. When I actually stop and let God speak to me, man, it's amazing how he's faithful in that. And fasting, whether it's food, maybe it's social media, maybe it's your phone in general. Lord, help us all, right? It could look a lot of different ways. Maybe you've got questions about that too. I'm going to talk about this more at the end as well, but there are the connect cards that are on the back of the seat right in front of you there. Maybe you just want to fill one out and say, you know, I'd love to talk more about fasting and what that could look like, how I could start, something like that. Fill one of those out, let us know, and we'd love to have a conversation with what that could look like for you. All right, I'm super behind. We got to get moving here. All right, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. All right, I'm going to move through this because I want to get to the next part, which actually kind of goes along with this. And this is just simply to say that healing is possible. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. Healing, like physical healing in your body, is possible through prayer, by faith, as God wills and powers that to happen in your life. It is possible. And as we confess and pray for each other, we will overcome the healing that we need from the sin in our lives. And as we pray for each other, we will be physically healed, right? Like, that's part of what James is talking about here. But you need to see, like you don't need to pray just so that you can get your prayers answered. Help me now, all right? Come on. You don't need to pray just so that your prayers get answered, just so that your life is better, just so that your bills get paid, right? One of the things we need to recognize here in James is that God is calling upon the church, not this building, not this service, not that chair you sit in, and not that parking lot you came into. I'm talking about each and every one of you that are under the sound of my voice even now, those that are followers of Jesus Christ. God has called the church to speak healing into each other's lives, to confess sins to one another, to bring deliverance from that sin together. Like, you need to understand, that doesn't happen through me. I'm just reading the Bible. That happens as we pray for each other. And so sure, like I'll call the elders of the church to come and lay hands on you, and we'll pray and anoint all that kind of stuff, and we'll do all that kind of stuff. But I'm just letting you know right now, if you need healing in your life, please don't wait till Sunday. Please, if it's Sunday and you need heal from something, praise the Lord. Like, we'll all come, lay hands, it'll be awesome, it'd be great. But if you need a healing on Monday, please don't wait all week to get what God's got for you on Monday. Like, he's raised us all up that we could confess and pray to one another in order that we might see deliverance and a change in our lives. Which brings me to the next point, which is intercession. This is a really churchy word that I want to unpack real quick. So in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 48, let me read this for you real quick. It says, this is Aaron. Aaron stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. Here's the picture I want you to see here, because I love this. By the way, this is in the book of Numbers, which is a super exciting book of the Bible. I know it doesn't seem like it, but it super is, all right? And so anyway, so the people of Israel were like grumbling against God, right? They were just like, oh, this is stupid. Do you know what they were really saying? What they were saying was, it's broken, it doesn't work, and it's dumb. It's broken, it doesn't work, and it's dumb. So we're giving up on this. That's really what they were saying, right? They just weren't connected to the Bluetooth. That's really the problem. That was really their problem. But instead, what they did was they grumbled against God and against Moses. And so God was like, okay, here's some snakes. Right? No, this wasn't the snakes. That was after this one. This is a different plague. Snakes came later. I told that story earlier in the week. Doesn't really matter, but it's also in the book of Numbers, and it's really cool. It's a really cool book, I'm telling you. It sounds boring. It's not, I promise. Anyway, the point is, this plague starts going across Israel because they're all in the camp, the way they're set up and everything. And there's like, I don't know, it's like 14,000 people that have already died. Aaron, like Moses tells Aaron, hey, take the incense, go to the camp, in the middle of the camp, and stop there. And so Aaron goes, and that's where we get to this verse. Aaron gets to where the plague is coming across the people here, and where he stands, the plague stops. And on one side of him is death. And I think there was like 14,000 people that had died. And on the other side of him was life. And I just need you to know, there are some people in your life right now that have death creeping up on them. There are circumstances in their lives that are leading them to nothing that is going to lead them to life. And somebody, oh my goodness, help me today. Somebody needs you to follow the word of God out into the plague and to stand where it's coming. And to stand by faith in the power of Jesus Christ in prayer to intercede on somebody else. In other words, you're going to pray on their behalf, and God's going to respond to their life because of your faith. And what you're going to find is that when you start praying for other people, the death stops with you. But if you aren't there praying, where does the death stop? You see what I mean? Like, this is why it's so important for us to recognize, like, it's not just about, okay, I'll read my Bible and check off my box there so that I can, you know, grow my faith, I guess. And maybe in, you know, 30, 40 years, I'll get to a point where I'm, you know, a good, solid Christian or whatever. It's not about, like, just getting what you want for your own life and everything like that. You need to understand, like, there are lives in the balance. And I'm never going to meet most of the people that you have in your life. And they need somebody. They need you to be the one who responds to the voice of God, to go out there in the plague that is this world that the enemy is using to bring destruction and death to all of us. Like, you just need to see it. It's not hard. And we've got to go out into that world and actually put ourselves in the middle of it so that we can see that death is stopping now in the name of Jesus. See, that's what our prayers for others will do. Whew, man alive. I better get on here. God has raised us up as a church in order that we might be people that pray and have faith in our God to answer our prayers. And I want you to know, you are here today because other people have been praying for you. You know, it's so cool. Even just last night in my community group, part of our one of the icebreaker question there was to talk about how you got connected with Houston First Church of God, and how you're serving and stuff. And what we realized, because I was trying to make a joke, and I was like, oh, I got here because I got voted in, right? And what we realized was that nobody in my group voted for me. No, what I mean by that, nobody was here. It wasn't like they voted no. I'm sorry, that came out wrong. Nobody else in the group was here when I started here. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, you know how cool that is? Like, just to know that, like, and the reality is, somebody prayed, each and every one of them, into this church. Somebody prayed, each and every one of them, into that group. And I promise you, I know this for a fact. Somebody's praying each and every one of them into intercessory activity for other people in their lives, right? Like, you need to know. Like, it is so awesome to see how God has answered the prayers of others to get us right in this place so that we can be on mission for Him, so that we can accomplish that vision to multiply. You need to know someone prayed to get you here. And someone needs you to pray to get them here as well. What we need to do is to be people of prayer that are going to engage the mission to see God accomplish His vision for the church. Let me go ahead and jump ahead to some questions here that I want you to really wrestle with for today. And the first question is, what makes prayer difficult for you sometimes? What makes prayer difficult for you sometimes? What I mean by that is sometimes people talk about, like, yeah, I don't really pray because, like, I tried it once, it didn't go well. Or it's just weird to pray out loud. Or I had a family member who prayed a lot and they were really mean, and so if that they were going to do it, I don't want to do it. Or I had a bad experience with a church, and so I'm not really interested in doing anything that they did, right? Whatever it is, like, there's all kinds of history or insecurities we might have. Like, what makes prayer difficult for you? What is it that makes taking that act of faith maybe difficult for you? The second thing is then, how can you take a step of faith regarding prayer? Maybe for you it's just a matter of just doing it for the first time, right? Maybe it's just a matter of setting up, you know what, every day I'm going to have this place and this time where I pray to my God and my Father each and every day. For me, that's first thing in the morning after my alarm clock goes off. I go up, I make coffee, and I hit my knees. Like, that's just part of my thing. And I do that because nobody else in the house is awake. And because as soon as they wake up, I no longer own my time, right? I get it. Like, your time is probably like that too. But we got to find a time. Like, it's important enough that we do that, right? And so we got to find a time. Maybe the step of faith that you need to take is to connect with the prayer time that actually happens here with the church before worship. Did you know that at 10 o'clock every single Sunday in the hospitality room, we've got a group of people that meet together and pray for you? That's how I know you were prayed for before you got here. Because I could introduce you to the people who prayed for you even though they didn't know you. I can introduce you to the people who prayed for your salvation even before you got saved. I can point them out to you right now. And you can be part of that team as well. I mean, it's not like, I mean, you just show up next Sunday, 10 o'clock, they're going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Come on. Hospitality room's right down from the coffee. You're going to get coffee anyway. Just take a left turn. You'll be right there. It'll be awesome, right? Maybe that's the step of faith you need to take, right? So that you could be around others who are praying as well. The last one then is, how can you pray and intercede for others? Not just for your own request, but how can you pray for others in order that God might move in their lives as well? We are a people of prayer, and we're inviting you to be a people of prayer as well. Pastor David's going to come here in just a moment. He's going to bring our service to a close. And after we get done there, like, maybe you want to pray with somebody even just today. Maybe you recognize you haven't prayed because you don't actually have a relationship with Jesus. Like, you're not really connected to God, so why would you pray to somebody you're not connected to? Like, there are people who want to pray with you, and there's going to be people on either side here that will come and pray with you. So come, and, like, the service will be over. You can stay as long as you want. Right? Get what you need today. Don't leave without getting what God has for you. But we've got to take some steps of faith today. Pray with me. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, for the way that you are working. I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for responding to our faith. And I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you are a God of miracles. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to take steps of faith and help us to see that you are responding to our faith even today. We submit ourselves to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.